This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris.
I'm Robert Siegel, and now a talk with the head of one of the federal agencies that took part in the stress test of the 19 biggest financial institutions, the Comptroller of the Currency, John Dugan. Welcome.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
First, we should say the Comptroller of the Currency supervises more than 1,600 federally chartered commercial banks, not to mention branches of foreign banks in the U.S., and I gather those institutions account for nearly two-thirds of the assets in the whole commercial banking system.
That's correct.
Okay. Why should I feel good about the results of today's stress test? They show that some of our biggest and most famous banks are billions of dollars short of what they should have in the way of capital to withstand a deeper recession.
Well, I think there are a couple of reasons. One, remember, this test is not a solvency test. It's not telling whether the banks have enough capital today. It's really a hypothetical scenario of a very bad set of bad recession and whether the bank would be able to have enough capital at the end of that recession to be strong enough to keep lending. I think why the results were encouraging today is that it showed that overall capital in the largest banks is strong and can withstand a great deal of loss in the next 2 years. But at the same time, common equity, one kind of capital, does need to be increased in some banks. And these banks are already taking steps to achieve that result without, we hope, resorting to government capital.
You're saying the capital that consists of common stock, the shareholders own, voting stock.
That's correct.
In the bank. Secretary Geithner said that the leaders of our nation's banks have a lot to do to earn back the nation's trust. Once they get the capital that the stress tests have found they need, will they then deserve the nation's trust? And will we be able to say at that point the financial crisis, that dimension of the recession, is over?
Well, I think one of the good things about today is that there has been a great deal of uncertainty about how bad the assets were on the balance sheets of these banks. And I think although this test took 2 years to run, it was a very rigorous test. And because we've produced in a very extraordinary way...
You say 2 years.
I'm sorry, excuse me, 2 months.
2 months,
two months to run.
And because it hasn't been that long.
Yes, it seems like it at times. So, but because we've been able to produce loan level losses by loan category in quite extraordinary detail, we've never done this before, we think that gives a level of transparency to what the condition of these balance sheets are. It relieves uncertainty, and because the uncertainty is gone and people see that the losses are not as large as they thought they might be, I think that that is producing more confidence in the system.
If we see that an institution needs X billion dollars in order to be solvent, is that the same thing as saying that it has roughly that much in what we would call toxic assets on its books?
Well, first, just to correct
not
you at
solvent,
one point,
but
not solvent.
To be able to weather the worst,
to weather the worst
recession.
And now you can't equate the capital that we talk about with the assets on their balance sheet. This is, if certain assets had losses, would you have enough capital to offset those losses? You could have an asset like a loan that could have be worth $100 and only have a $10 loss, and you'd have a series of those, and you want enough capital for that.
Can you explain something about two really big banks, Bank of America and Citigroup, and what the stress test found? In the case of Bank of America, the stress test found that the bank needs about $34 billion more capital. In the case of Citi, it found that it needs $5.5 billion more capital. But that's assuming that Citi, because it's announced it will do this, will convert the government's preferred shares into common equity, as you've described, and that will take care of most of their problem, which is much bigger, $50 billion. And Bank of America hasn't done that. To give those two numbers, $34 billion and $5.5 billion, is that a case of comparing apples and half-eaten apples?
Well, I don't know if I'd put it exactly that way, but sort of. I would say that
there are different stages of the process.
That's exactly right.
You know what they're doing.
I think the stress test revealed a larger general capital need of common capital for Citibank than Citigroup than it did for Bank of America. But Citigroup had already had in train and announced, as you said, an exchange and conversion of some of the government stock that it already owned into common, which brought the number down to a smaller number than for Bank of America.
It opens you to the criticism, though, that there's some spin at work here, and given the choice between a number that will make the TARP and all the federal rescue efforts so far to date look successful and good, and a bigger number that might make them look less effective, the stress test went for the better number, $5.5 billion.
Well, I think if you look at the actual disclosure, you'll see both numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I think people have gone to the bottom line and produced that number, but you'll see the larger number before this government conversion that Citigroup was doing. So at least we hope by giving all the numbers, people can draw their own conclusions.
You've said you discovered things in these 2 months. All of the regulators, all of the examiners at work here discovered things they hadn't seen before. Why hadn't they seen these things before? Why couldn't you see this coming with the banks?
I'm not sure we saw things we hadn't seen before. What this was uniquely was we do stress testing with individual banks, and we do some of them at the same time on different parts of their portfolio. But to my knowledge, this is the first time we've ever tried to take a point in time and do the same stress test across the entire portfolio of all loans and other assets of all of the largest banks. So what you really get there is a much more of an apples-to-apples comparison at that point in time, and that we've never really seen with this kind of rigor before.
Secretary Geithner says he hopes that now bankers will be able to get back to the business of banking. I've heard bankers protest that they are back in the business of banking, that they are lending already. It's all the other institutions that weren't part of the stress test that haven't been. Do you believe these banks' behavior will change dramatically based on the information that's now transparently clear to everyone?
I think that banks have been lending and that it's been overstated the extent to which people have suggested that they haven't been lending. That's not true. The data do not bear that out. On the other hand, I believe that increased confidence in the banking system helps the banks. An increased capital buffer gives them more capacity to take the kinds of prudent risks we want to see them take to make loans to creditworthy borrowers, that is, people who can pay it back.
Some people who, when they see the Treasury Secretary, the Fed Chairman, the Comptroller of the Currency, yourself, the FDIC Chair brought together for this effort, say, how did we come up with a regulatory system? How did we come up with this multi-headed beast that looks after our banks?
Well, it's true we don't have four FDAs or four Federal Aviation Agencies. And as one of my predecessors is fond of saying, it's a system that does not work in theory at all. But in practice, we make it work because we have to make it work. I think looking at how many regulators and what they do is one of the things Congress is committed to take a look at this year. So more to come on that score.
Well, we thank you for talking with us today about the stress test that we released. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
The Comptroller of the Currency, John Dugan.